Hello, I'm Howard, and welcome to the 9320 Review Podcast, the show that thinks Carlsberg make terrible, terrible beer, but they occasionally do wonderful weekends. We're looking back at another weekend of crazy Barclays action. They do good weekends as well, occasionally, as the title race ended emphatically, apparently. More on that later. To do so, two people who needed little encouragement to come on this podcast. It's Eysan and Lloyd. Good afternoon, Eysan. How are you?
Afternoon, Howard. I'm in fine fettle, sir. Very fine fettle.
What are the chances of that?
Exactly.
I can hear a leaf blower getting closer and closer, and it's not even annoying me today. So there you go. Must have been a good weekend. Must have been. Lloyd, good afternoon.
What a weekend. Oh, just, I mean, unexpected results, but then the head loss. You know, I had Liverpool and Arsenal fans conceding the title yesterday. It's just incredible stuff.
Yeah.
We are massive, I think.
No one cares, mate. No one cares. So, I mean, no one's even going to notice if we won the league anyway. But yeah, we will get to that later. I think it's fair to say this will be a podcast of two halves, and it won't all be a review of the City Luton match. So, because, yeah, much better to look at the weekend as a whole, because, as you said, Lloyd, and we'll get to it later, I was quite relaxed on Sunday morning, as I had no expectations for the day whatsoever. I expected all three teams to win this weekend, and on we went. So, not quite how it turned out. And even after the Liverpool match, I was quite relaxed, because I thought, well, even one of them messing up on the day is more than I expected. So, I was quite relaxed during the Arsenal match, which, yeah, until the end, where I got quite nervous again, like I often do. But, yeah, we'll get to the rest of the Premier League, or the bit at the top later. So, to City. Eysan, I'm sure you're fine with making this review bit a bit shorter than usual, but the team versus Luton, was it just what you wanted? No Stones, Foden or Rodri, the triumvirate that I certainly didn't want to see in the team this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously Walker wasn't there either, even though he was on the bench. So, but yeah, no, I mean, I expected the team to be as strong as it was, but I expected that Phil and or Stones wouldn't be anywhere near it. I expected him to start Rodri, you know, just because he loves to do it. I almost felt like when they asked him in the post-match after Madrid about Rodri's comments, I felt immediately like he's going to start him again just as a reminder that he decides whether somebody is tired or not. But yeah, Rod has got his rest.
Yeah. And I assume you're pretty happy with that lineup as well, considering Luton, I don't think, had any defenders to call on anyway. No central defenders anyway.
No, I mean, yeah, look, I'm more of the opinion that rhythm is the most important thing. I think players, in terms of the fitness of players, you sort of have to be guided by the medical staff and the physios at the club, and any player that's in the starting lineup is there because they've been told that they can play and they're fine.
Lloyd, not that much to discuss, is there? They feel like a training session at times.
Well, just before we get to the game, I think if ever we needed more confirmation that Pep's on Twitter than his comments about the team leaks and Foden not being in the 11 and baiting all the fantasy kind of leakers, then I think we have it right there with his comments that came out last night at the 10:30. So funny.
Does that mean you're going to stop WhatsApping us the leaks now, or the Foden news?
I'll still be checking before the game for what the team is. Obviously, I just find it funny that they obviously, you know, that was obviously a bit of a ploy to put the Foden thing out to someone to try and kind of work out the leak, and that he was never going to play. So,
Of course, Gvardiol, who wasn't travelling to Madrid, then was travelling, then wasn't starting, then did start. So. Yeah.
I think you can see City are trying to get a hold on it, definitely. Yeah. Okay, so it started quite well, didn't it? Great finish from Haaland. I mean, he couldn't.
I need my eyes testing. I sit at that end and I didn't even see the deflection. Like, they've given it as an own goal. Why have they done that? Then I saw it and went, oh, it went sideways. That's why. So he didn't cover himself in glory in that period, did he? But we took the lead after 70 seconds. So
no, well, he missed the chance. And then obviously it kind of falls to Doku, who kind of good block. And then honestly, I think it's fair to say that was probably going for a throw from Haaland.
If you could reach, to be honest, would it? So.
I don't know. I watched it back. It's definitely going to struggle to stay in.
Knocked the player out. So must have had some oomph on it. Yeah.
Look, you take it because I thought we were really unlucky with deflections against Madrid midweek, right? So if you don't shoot, as we saw on Tuesday night, then, you know, you don't buy a ticket to the lottery and it goes in. So, I mean, it is absolutely the perfect start in a game like that where Luton, because of their injuries, they're coming just to try and, you know, on their side, bit of damage limitation. And obviously for them to be at a deficit within 2 minutes, it's worst case scenario for them, isn't it?
Yeah. Did it feel like a training exercise to you, Ace, and thereafter? Was that being harsh?
I just think it's hard. I think that, you know, if you take the context of it's 1-0 at half time and you take a look at my timeline at the start of the second half, well, then the general consensus was that that game was going to end 1-1. So I certainly don't think that we had veered into the realms of training exercise quite as quickly as people might feel in the aftermath of the final whistle. And look, I think that we have seen from the rest of the weekend's results, and also a little bit, we've seen it all season, even if we haven't really acknowledged it, or certainly I've acknowledged it, but I think a lot of people have struggled to acknowledge just how unpredictable the season is. And partially that is because the Premier League has got probably 15 teams, or no, 10 or 12 teams outside of the top six that have got the players to hurt you on any given day, right? And so the idea that any game is just a gimme, it has always felt a little bit far-fetched to me.
Yeah.
I think you have to turn up, as weird as it sounds, right? It's probably best to start here for me. So I went into the game on Saturday incredibly nervous. And the reason I was incredibly nervous was because it had banana skin written all over it. And one of the reasons it had banana skin written all over it is because we go to Madrid and we take a 3-2 lead and we give that lead up and we end up conceding 3 goals in Madrid without necessarily playing badly. And so at this point in the season, so much of it is about how you perform, but how you handle setbacks and how you're kind of, what is your game by game consistency and mentality? And I think that the thing that gave me the most calm at halftime was simply that I felt we were fantastic in the first half. We didn't play like a team that was nervous about what they needed to do. We played like a team that set out with real purpose, with real intent from back to front.
I was quite nervous until the Kovacic goal, to be honest, because the next day would show, the first Liverpool game would show, just making lots of chances isn't enough. You just never know. I think the Palace game, I always think back to the Palace game, home to Palace this season, City. That's how football, you know, can bite you in the backside if you try and just cruise over the line. Pep had to make changes there, but it was a risk. But I think, Lloyd, were you actually, as this first half progressed, were you comfortable or were you nervous thinking we could live to regret this? I think it was 18 shots. And once I watched the highlights back, there's more than I realised. In no particular order, Nunes hit the post, outside of the post. had a tame shot as well into the keeper's hands, as did Diaz. Gvardiol had a right footer saved, not his last of the day. Haaland put it over the bar from a Kevin De Bruyne cross, which is almost identical, apart from the ending, to one he scored against United last season, I think. As Gvardiol headed across goal and took on Haaland, which was, of course, ignored by VAR. De Bruyne had the shot saved. So, I mean, it was just, in that respect, the training exercise in that Luton, I don't think, really got anywhere near our penalty area. And I think we had more touches in the penalty area than any team, I think, over the course of this game since 16-17. So how did you feel as that first half, you know, progressed? Were you getting more and more frustrated, or were you just like, well, we're going to do it eventually, and once we get a second, we'll probably get another three?
You've set it out pretty well there. I think it's massive hindsight management to say that this was a really easy game and everything was calm, because, you know, at halftime I was a bit nervous, to be honest. And that's not because we hadn't played well, but it's because we hadn't taken the chances. We'd created easily enough in the first half to be, I would say, at least two, if not three up. And, you know, as the game drags on, we've seen enough games at the Etihad this season where we haven't put a side away and they've got one or two back, and, you know, we've kind of struggled. So the second goal really was the key. And as soon as that did come, then yeah, I was comfortable. But up until that point, it was quite nervous, and there were some big chances missed in the first half. I thought Kev's performance was outstanding in the first half. Some of the balls that he put through, I mean, his teammates really let him down. And I think that's kind of across the board. But I do think it was a penalty on Haaland for the kind of Gvardiol header. It's becoming a bit of a trend of late that, you know, defenders there seems to be a higher bar when it comes to kind of grappling with Haaland as opposed to other players. I hope it's not one that kind of costs us in a game in the running, but for me, that was quite clearly a penalty. Gvardiol headed it back across goal. I think he was probably going to get there. So we were a bit unlucky in that respect.
Yeah, in a way, you know, the argument, it was like a training match, is that I've got it here, actually. For the game as a whole, most touches in the opposition box in a Premier League game since 2016 was this game. 105 City would have in the opposition box in this game. The second highest ever is 87, and that was City twice, versus Norwich in 2020, versus Southampton in 2019. So they've obliterated their own record, basically. So there you go. So yeah, a lot of time was spent in that penalty area. So I guess then we can jump forward, Asa. Anyone who sits near me at a ground will know how much I whinge about how shit we are at corners. I'm sorry if I've sworn in the first 15 minutes. Apologies. But considering how many we get, I think we are terrible at them, even if Lloyd's got some stats that prove otherwise. But never mind, because I think the second goal was from a corner, was it not? But more to the point, what a hit, and what a way to settle the nerves as well, from a player who doesn't score many goals.
No, but when he scores them, they are generally bangers as well. And a little bit like Gvardiol, I think that, you know, Kovacic is somebody who has got himself into that kind of edge of the area shooting position many times over the course of the season, and some have been blamed over the bar and some have been deflected, but it didn't dim his appetite to keep having a go. And you kind of felt like he'll get one right, and the timing of getting that one right was absolutely spot on.
Indeed. Lloyd, we don't have to discuss the penalty. It's clear. It's always a clear penalty when the player who gives it away just goes, oh, no.
It was a great reaction, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, opposition players will complain or moan about anything. You could literally kick someone in the chest in the penalty area and they'll try and claim they got the ball, and he's went, ah, damn, he's done me. So we'll get to Doku, of course, especially for the next goal that City score anyway. But nice penalty, and good to see that Haaland did get on the score sheet anyway.
Yeah, no, good for Haaland. I think he needed that after the pass to, for the corner for the first goal.
yeah.
But no, he slotted that. He slotted that nice goalie the wrong way. That'll definitely help him ahead of a big game midweek. And I thought that was also the least that Doku had deserved up until that point in the game. So kind of really stood the defender up, went to go right, and it's then that little shimmy to go left completely cooked him. And I thought that was one of the best reactions from a defender I've seen this season.
To the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our contents, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes, and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.